In our reading today, we talked about those who go down to the sea in ships. And notice it says, those who go down to the sea in ships. There's a reason for this, because the land represents what is interior inside of man. And the sea represents what's on the outside, his life in the world, and especially his intellectual life, the kinds of thoughts he's thinking in the natural world. And so when the Lord taught, it says that he was on the sea and they were on the land. And what that meant was he was on the sea was all the different truths of the word in its complex, because the word is written in a literal sense. And this was the way the Lord was teaching them. Remember how he spoke in parables, and he only privately explained to these parables to disciples afterward, who had a more interior view of the truth. And so it is that the Lord teaches us, as it were, from the ship. The ship or the boat represents doctrine. Doctrine isn't just what you're taught in church. Doctrine are the teachings from which you are taught. And in the new church, we are very fortunate to have a heavenly doctrine, a doctrine drawn from the mouth of the Lord, from the word. We have a doctrine of teachings that explains to us the meaning of the parables. It is, as it were, the Lord coming to us like his disciples and explaining to us the word. And it is this doctrine that we need as we traverse the seas, as we go out into the world to do our use, as we go out and learn all these things of the world. We need a firm doctrine from the Lord which can hold us secure. And so that's why this miracle of the Lord calming the tempest begins with the Lord teaching from a ship to the people, teaching them doctrine so that they might understand, so that they might have something that they can bring into their life and live by. This was the point of going down to the sea in ships. And so it was that after the teachings, the disciples went with the Lord. They had just heard all these teachings. They had even heard the explanation of these teachings. And they're going out across the sea, crossing the sea, as it were, taking what we've learned from the word in the interior and bringing it into our life in the exterior, taking what we know to be true from the word and putting it into our life. This is, as it were, crossing the sea, for he leaves the side of the land of Canaan and goes to the other side, which represents the external in our life. And all of us have this. On a Sunday, and perhaps when we're reading from the word, we have that time with the Lord as he teaches us from a ship. But then we have the time we have to take these teachings into our life, and we have to traverse that sea. And as we leave, things seem fine. But things come up in our life. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be the confusion when we think we know what's true and somebody else starts teaching us something else that doesn't fit. Especially the scientifics of the world, which often conflict. And soon we find ourselves cast into what's called temptation and doubt. We begin to wonder whether what the Lord taught was really what he said. Maybe it really means this. And instead of being there with the Lord in the ship, it's as if the Lord is sleeping, asleep in the stern on a pillow. Now, from our recitation, from the psalm, we know the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord is always awake. And yet in our mind, it can seem as if he is asleep, because now we're taking what the Lord has taught and we're bringing it into our own life. And there's something here that's not going right. And that is that we're bringing it in to our own life. We think, okay, I have the tools. I can do this. Now it's going to work. And yet we find that as we apply this doctrine to our life, it doesn't fit as well as we thought. Life is stormy, life has waves, and it can also lead us into temptation. And times when we're truly doubting, times when things just aren't going well at all, and we wonder, does this doctrine work? We're tempted maybe to turn to other sources, but that only increases the size of the waves and the strength of the wind. We need a way to get out, and we remember the Lord. Like those that were caught in the psalm, with the waves rising high up and dropping down to the abysses. And what does it say? It said the ship reeled like a drunken man. Something's going on here where we think that our own thought and our own thinking process is what's going to save us. As a drunken man, the pride of self-intelligence comes in. We try to work out all the details ourselves. Finally, they call upon the Lord. And so the disciples, as it were, woke up the Lord. And they ask, do you care if we perish? Well, of course the Lord cares whether we perish or not. The Lord never stops caring. He never slumbers or sleeps. He is always caring about our salvation. But our doubts in a time like this, in these tempests that are tossing us from one side to the other, we wonder whether the Lord really cares, whether he's some God way off in the distance, all love, all wisdom, but somehow not related to our own life. We lose the idea of the Lord as a man who is with us in that ship of his doctrine. And the Lord then wakes up. And it's interesting. He rebukes the disciples, doesn't he? But before he rebukes the disciples, he rebukes the wind and speaks to the sea, telling it to be speechless, telling it to be calm, because the sea and the winds represent the falsities that are coming from the world. And actually, you remember, the sea was a good thing. The sea was all those truths, those natural truths we knew. But it also represents the external. And underneath the sea, as it were, is a churning, because through those same natural truths, the hells can tempt us, the hells can lead us away. And so the Lord speaks to those forces, actually to the evil spirits that are causing our temptation, because the Lord never leads us into temptation. We say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. And the heavenly doctrine says this is an appearance, because it seems that way to us when we're in deep prayer to the Lord. It's actually, and we need to know this, coming from evil spirits. It's not coming from the Lord, and it is also not coming from ourselves. It's so important to realize that this isn't from us that these horrible thoughts are coming, these doubts and so on. It isn't even really from the world around us. It's from the evil spirits who use those things from the world around us to cast us into doubt, to cast us even into despair. Despair is when we feel helpless. We feel the Lord's gone. We feel there's no way out. We feel hell seems to be a certainty and that we're going to drown. The ship, that wonderful ship of doctrine that we had as we were listening to the Lord as he spoke from it, that ship starts filling with waters. That doctrine, all those wonderful truths that we learned from the Lord, is starting to be filled up with false ideas and persuasions. What was steady and easy to follow becomes difficult. And so we turn to the Lord, and he awakens. And he rebukes those evil spirits in our mind. And there is a calm. And then he turns to us. And he rebukes us and asks, do you not have any faith? Do you not have the belief? Meaning, didn't you know that I was watching over you? Didn't you know that you would not perish? And yet the Lord allowed them to enter into despair because they needed to realize something. They needed to realize that by themselves, with all their great thinking, with all their ability with the doctrine, with all their ways and how they figured out a way they're going to make it to heaven on their own, because the Lord taught them the right things, they forgot something, that by themselves they could not do it. They needed to know that it is only the Lord himself who has the power to rebuke the sea and say to the wind, be speechless. Only the Lord has the power to put down the hells. And if we don't realize that, if we think we're saving ourselves, then we can't be saved. We have to turn to the Lord. And so the key is, and in the new church, we have something wonderful, that the Lord is in the doctrine. The Lord is wide awake in the doctrine. It may appear at times that he's sleeping in the stern, but he's really wide awake at the bow, leading us. We need to remember that when we read the heavenly doctrine, this isn't just something from a man. This isn't just something to understand. This isn't just some technique that we can use to get where we want to go. These are words from the Lord himself, from his own mouth, drawn from the word, which means from the sea, as it were, the letter of the word, and there is the doctrine, the boat by which we can ride. The Lord is, as it were, a woodworker. He is the one who built this heavenly doctrine for us to traverse the sea. And we can then trust that it is the Lord who is there, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, he is man, he is with us always. There will be times when we doubt, and he may rebuke us for being without faith, But he saved them, didn't he? It's better to turn to the Lord and, hey, don't you care, than to say, he doesn't care, and not turn to him. He is always awake, but sometimes we need to wake up our mind to see him. And so let's turn to the Lord when we're in despair. Let's turn to the Lord when we thought what the doctrine was going to lead us seems to be filling with false ideas. Let's turn back and see that the Lord is there. And this doctrine is not full of water, actually. It's not full of falsities. That's our mind. The doctrine itself is true. The doctrine itself is trustworthy. These teachings from the heavenly doctrine can explain those parables in such a way that we can apply this to our lives every day of our life, that we can traverse the seas, that we can take what we learn in church and when we read the word, what we learn in religion classes and doctrinal classes, we can take that ship that is so beautifully built by the Lord and we can traverse life, bring it down, as it were, those who go down to the sea in ships. We can bring it down into our life, keeping the boat the way it is and remembering the Lord is there, that these are his words, and if they stay firm, the hells have no chance to overthrow us. But even so, there will be times that it seems that way. But if we turn to the Lord and do what he says according to his doctrine, then there will be that wonderful calm. And we will see more and more, as they said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? His power will become even greater in our life. And we can turn to him more and more so that calm, that heavenly life, can enter us.